Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 197, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Thursday, August 12th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. This is a podcast that I host, and yes, my thighs are white as a ghost, and I may speak too fast about coal gas. I also talk Havana with Sir Miles. That is Story of a Girl, courtesy of Uncle Brew. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
I said, please get the vaccine! Tell them you've been foolish! Please get the vaccine, y'all! Please get the vaccine! Tell them it's a danger without the vaccine!
And that's Michael McDonald, the Doobie Brothers, You Belong to Me.
And he submitted that himself.
He submitted that. Dude, Michael McDonald, huge Zeit Gang. I didn't realize that.
He's like, please tell them about the dangers of not being vaccinated.
And that's how he speaks. But anyway, yes, shout out to me right now, because I've just been listening to a lot of Michael McDonald the last 24 hours.
And Miles, before we get to our guest, let's tell them what's happening. From yesterday.
Be our guest. August 25th. Yes. Dang, that's coming up real quick. We are having a live stream moment, a show that you can tune into virtually. You can watch us do this amazing our take on the year 2000.
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic. We'll have some guests. It's going to have some great laughs and maybe some information about young Jack and Miles that you might not have been privy to previously. So get your tickets at momenthouse.com/thedailyzeitgeist to, you know, get in on that. It's going to be at 6 p.m. Pacific, but don't worry. Even if you can't make it, there is a video on demand option so you can watch it after the fact, so you don't have to be tethered to that exact time. Just get the tickets
first.
Get that ticket, babe.
Yeah, if you missed our live show last year, which most of you did because we couldn't really tour it after the pandemic started, this is that show. We're doing it one last time, and you can watch it from wherever you are. comfort of your own home, an Arby's. But yeah, this is your last chance to witness history, y'all. It's a big deal. So come check it out. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very funny stand-up comedian, writer, actor, producer. He is the creator of Boast Rattle, a compliment contest. Never Seen It, a podcast where famous comedians rewrite classic movies they've never seen. He's appeared on Comedy Central, Fuse, at Just for Laughs, where he was called a breakout star by Time Out New York. He created and hosted the podcast Faking a Murderer, where he talked with eight comedians for 8 hours about the show Making a Murderer, but didn't tell his guests that he'd never seen Making a Murderer. He also wrote and put on a satirical play, Glengarry Glenn Beck, was the writer behind the Twitter hashtag Roof Breakup, which was a viral sensation that was read by 10 million people and haunts him to this day. Please welcome to the show the hilarious Kyle Ayers.
Hello. Thank you for having me again.
Welcome, welcome.
I tried to come up with a song, but I couldn't think of any. I was just going to go, it's been 1 week since I got in a fight with someone in a Twitter reply, but it hasn't been. It's been like 3 hours.
It's been waiting.
Ironically, their avatar was a bare naked lady. So that's probably.
There you go.
I find it hard to believe that you would struggle to come up with a musical, AKA. You seem very musical, Kyle. I see the instruments behind you. We've spoken about your love of music.
I do. Yeah. Was it really that hard?
Dozens of accordions.
It was hard
there.
To come up with one that wasn't 1 week by Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh, yeah. You forgot. That's the only song I know how to play on all of these harmonicas.
I have a Blues Traveler singer vest, but just to play the first 4 seconds of 1 week by Bare Naked Ladies on all my harmonicas.
So have you talked about hashtag roof breakup on this show?
I don't know. I don't know. It is such a bizarre thing in my life.
Yeah.
It is a Twitter thing that I did that went wildly viral, but superseded threads and retweets, and like it was hard. So it was just like a series of tweets of people breaking up on my roof in Brooklyn, and it like got picked up by like BuzzFeed, and like Jerry Springer was doing reenactments, and like Ellen was calling me to come do like weird sideshows. It was crazy.
What?
But it was like before threads and before, you know, virality happened 800 times a day to everything. And I worked at the Apple store and people were coming in. They were like, you're the face from the BuzzFeed thing I saw today.
And, wow.
And I'm like, yeah, you spilled water on your computer. And this is going to be $800.
Yeah.
And it was, so it was just a very, you know, got a lot of Twitter followers, lost a lot of them the moment I tweeted about anything else. And
Robot
Purge has always
hurt
me because I think, you know, robots follow these like viral people and stuff. And
right.
It's great. But yeah, it was a crazy thing. And every once in a while still pops up. I don't even remember what year it happened, 2015, 2016 maybe, but every once in a while, like it'll hit a new pocket of the internet and everyone, or like a TikTok will recap, do you remember internet things? I live in the wheelhouse of what color was the dress? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And every once in a while I pop up on like if there was an I love those, I think that it would probably circle back into that every once in a while. And
I love 2015.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's very cool. It was just a twisty turny breakup, like
just some people screaming at each other, and I was just tweeting what they said, and
on a rooftop, right?
On a rooftop, where I lived. People sent me like a pillow, like merch they made with like quotes of it embroidered in there, and like it became just the. Do you ever work really hard for a really long time? And think any of that's what'll pay off? You ever work really hard for a really long time and think that's what'll do it, and then instead it's not? Like it's not. I like work my whole career to like get on Conan, right, and do this late night set, and I see it's like, ooh, I got 70,000 views, and I'm like, well, that's still what BuzzFeed gets from quote tweeting me 9 years ago or whatever.
Right.
That's amazing.
It's never what you think.
Yeah. All right. Well, Kyle, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. Okay. Yeah. First, just a pre-cap of a few of the things we're talking about. We're going to check in with the states of Texas and with Governor Ron DeSantis. I don't know. I was trying to make it work.
Yeah, that's what I see on the internet. They call him Ron DeSantis now.
And Florida, and just how things are going over there. Where the vaccine is not even really encouraged, but definitely not mandated. We're going to talk about where we are with kids getting vaccinated, because the vaccine's still not approved for kids under 12. They're going back to school. So we'll talk about that. It's really like the anti-vaxxers are about to really start fucking things up. Makes me angry. Joe Biden got 69 votes, bro, on his bipartisan infrastructure framework. So that's tight. We'll talk about just another story of LAPD being completely unaccountable. We'll talk about whether Ross and Rachel are boning in real life. I need this to be true. We'll talk about we'll talk about that Sinbad genie movie that everybody thinks happened and how it has affected the lives of his children. They have family friends who insist that it happened to them. They're like, no, people who like know our family insist that they saw that shit. All of that, plenty more. But first, Kyle, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
The last thing I searched was, did Jackie Kennedy really hate the Queen of England?
you're just watching The Crown?
Just now making it through The Crown.
Yeah.
could not be more fascinated by the fact that I'm watching a show that takes place over a whole century and this person it's based on is still around. Like, just could not be more blown away by how irrelevant they've known a monarchy is the entire time it's existed.
Yeah. And, at the start of her career, people are like, yeah, no, this doesn't matter anymore.
It's like it's dumping you into like 2 years per decade of people saying, we have to keep tricking everybody.
Right.
And then I watched, what was the last episode? She's like, you know what'll make sure I'm queen forever? If I dance with a black person.
Right. Yeah.
Like, wait, what season of The Crown is it? I've only seen the Princess Diana one, because for the most part, I don't care.
One or two. I can't remember if it's late one, maybe early second season, where she needs, Ghana is talking about, you know, not being part of their whatever giant little conglomerate of countries, and so she
their
goes,
empire, yes.
Their empire, yeah.
And I'm guessing that's what they, Ghana was independent in 1957, so it's around then.
Yeah, so somewhere around, because it's like right when she meets Jackie Kennedy, and so Jackie Kennedy, everyone's like, she's so charismatic, and the queen is like notoriously not, and sort of takes offense, and so this thing with Ghana is happening, and she goes against all of the everyone's instructions, and she's like, I'm going to go to Ghana, and everyone's like, what? And then she's like, I'm going to go there, and then she dances with, like, I don't know what the name of the head of state of Ghana in the 50s was, but she dances with them, and it becomes, like, front page. Can you believe the queen danced with this African person?
Yeah.
They're like, she's woke as fuck, y'all. They really, forget about, she really, forget about
it
imperialism.
It doesn't even, like, have to do with Ghana either. They're like, she danced with this black guy, so that'll show Russia. And I'm like, what is that? There's too many. Or the Soviet Union, I guess it was at the time. Sorry if I offended any Soviets. The whole thing's crazy. It's all so fake. The real world is, like, happening behind them in the show, and I don't think... But I wanted to know if Jackie Kennedy and the Queen really had, like, a little tiff.
Mm. And did they?
And no one really knew.
Yeah. Hey, but she danced with Nkrumah. We know that part.
I read all these articles, and everyone's like, could have been. And I'm like, I learned nothing from this.
Great. Thank you. Yeah. In the show, Jackie Kennedy, like, gets drunk at a party and is just talking about how pathetic the Queen is.
She's like, the funniest thing you could say is, I was at Buckingham Palace. The art is so old. That's like what she's like, yeah. That's like a huge part of it.
Dude, can they
that's
do
kind of the point. Yeah.
She's like insulting it. She's like, that queen is so traditional.
Right.
Like, yeah, man. She's named after a chess piece.
Yeah.
They don't have last names.
Because of the way narrative works, I'm like, she better shut up about the queen.
I know. I'm like rooting for the queen the whole time. Right. I hope the queen gets a little more attention.
Right. She's trapped by the monarchy, you guys. You have to understand. What is something you think is overrated?
I wrote, quote, tweet, dragging political pundits. Because then I got to see it, but I still do it. But then I got to see it. It's like a throwing a softball to. But I don't know. Can we just relax? Can I? If I go forever without Ben Shapiro being direct, I just don't think is he going to read one and just be like, "That's a good
fuck." They're right.
That is a good point. I am short, or like whatever.
Yeah.
No, it's I do it. I'm guilty of it and trying to not do it as
often. Hey, man, it's like, look, you're a slugger, man. When you got that bat in your hands, it doesn't matter if it's just a fastball right over the plate or a nice underhander for you to crush out of the park. You're swinging, baby. You're swinging.
Sure, but I would say a Ben Shapiro tweet would be steroids in this metaphor then. Let me just continue to try and have the first half of Barry Bonds' career.
Right.
Right.
Instead of needing these in the
crushing a Ben
half.
Shapiro tweet is you on performance-enhancing drugs with a corked bat.
Right.
And like a rubber cord ball that will just travel.
And then
four
like
times
someone I grew up with seeing his tweets and agreeing with him, that's like Mark McGuire in front of Congress. So it just or that's the home run ball bouncing off of Jose Canseco's head.
Right, right, right.
Just an unasked for consequence of the entire thing.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if we just never saw another tweet from him and then in like 7 years people treated it like the Sinbad thing? They're just like, yeah, no, nobody named Ben Shapiro ever existed.
Yeah, they're like, what? He's like, no, I'm very much real. I'm the guy with who said WAP was bad. Remember WAP and me and WAP? No?
Right.
Oh, it's an outrage. Anyway, I'm here at Home Depot to buy my plank of wood. Do you remember that part too?
Okay, that one we had some fun with.
Yeah, we had fun with the plank of wood.
Wait, what was the plank of wood? I missed that.
He went to Home Depot in some stunt because Home Depot donated to Trump's campaign. So everyone was like, don't
doing
go
my
there.
Part.
So he went to Home Depot and bought one plank of wood and carried it out in a plastic bag. Like a literal, like a shelf, like an unfinished shelf.
Just not
piece
a
of
human being
wood,
at all.
And was just like, I went to Home Depot and you have to support this business.
Support a patriotic company.
And he holds up a board.
Yeah. Like you couldn't, it's just weird how, okay, like I get, you don't have to, no shame in not knowing what to get at a Home Depot or that you've ever been in a Home Depot, but like the thought process is so funny. He's like, I will demonstrate that I'm doing shit at Home Depot. Oh my God, they still just pieces of loose wood here? Okay.
Hey. You know, he called it one loose wood.
Yeah.
Too.
Can I get a Lucy?
One wood?
Can we get one wood Lucy's real quick?
I got to get a pack?
Yeah.
The taxes. Damn. On the packs.
Oh, you're saying guys are selling Lucy's around the corner? All right, maybe I'll just do that. Can I get a bag then? Just a bag so I can put it in there?
Then it's just in one bag and he's holding the plastic, which it doesn't fit at all because it's a giant board. And it's in if you carried like, I can't even use another example to describe it because we can all picture this. It and is absolutely nuts. And he's just like, you got to support him.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, he's keeping that young plucky upstart Home Depot. In business.
The other thing is, I'm actually, now that I'm looking at it, it's just this plank of wood that he can't even use the bag handles to carry it. It's just like a like a dick tip condom on this fucking piece of wood. It's like the first third of it has a Home Depot plastic bag and he's just holding it on the other end. So it's like, what is this bag even?
It really looks like how people in LA wear beanies in August. Like right. It's just sort of out there on the edge and you're like, this is an aesthetic beanie.
Right, right, right.
It's more of a yarmulke than anything.
Yeah, it's something. But it's definitely not functioning as a bag. And just like the grip of it, it's just, ugh. Bless him.
Yeah.
I had too much fun negating my overrated here by doing it immediately after.
Windmill on the wood plank.
What's something you think is underrated?
All right, underrated. And then I'm going to let you guys know, I wrote one thing that I think is under and overrated simultaneously.
Ooh.
Perfect.
Underrated, like in popular stuff. That's all right.
Liking
you could like Marvel TV shows. You could like the stuff that everyone likes. That's fine. Keep doing it. You could like, I can't think of music. You could like Lady Gaga was going to be my example. Billie Eilish, there you go. Lady Gaga, how old am I? But you know, I mean, it's fine.
You can like Billy Joel.
Yeah, you guys could like the popular stuff. You guys could like Elvis. You guys could like this new artist, Dolly Parton. You could like whoever, but it's fine. Just like the popular stuff. It's fun to like because then you get to talk about it with everybody. You could like the NBA Finals, watch the NBA Finals, and like the thing with everybody. It's fun.
What's a specific thing that sort of inspired this
I think it was like everyone
underrated.
Was immediately turning on, and I haven't watched the new Marvel, but everyone's like turning on the Marvel TV shows, and there is a lot of comic book stuff, and it's like, but that's okay because everyone likes it, and it's kind of a nice story. And, you know, there's probably a reason that we're turning to like a fantastical version of our own world that does get saved. Yeah. I think there's probably a reason that we're all excited about thinking there's some sort of one thing that can save the world. And, you know, that's all right. Let them keep making it. People like it enough. It's fine.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it tells us something about people when it's popular.
that we feel absolutely powerless.
And some great work of art that nobody pays attention to.
I mean, there's definitely something to everyone's fascination right now. You know, the fact that superheroes are so popular is clearly something's going on with everybody.
Yeah.
Right. It's all of our parental issues, our feelings of hopelessness, all wrapped into one.
It's got to be something to, you watch a superhero thing and it's completely out of your control and something you've never seen shows up and fixes it. And you're just like, if there was like a Marvel what if, like that's their show, right? The new one where it's hypotheticals that they, other stories, like a Marvel what if where like Tony Stark fixes climate change or something like that. And he's just I found this new carbon filter. I think that's sort of what everyone is like. There's got to be
Where's that unknown thing?
Science or an unknown entity like Thor or something that just shows up.
And sadly, like, right. There's only been known science that's been telling us for decades.
Right. I know. I think everyone, some sort of like reverse magnifying glass.
Right.
Something that can make it a little cooler.
Like a big old fan or something. I don't know. Maybe.
There's that Simpsons where they blot out the sun.
You know what's funny, though? I feel like if there were in an MCU film, like part of the story was about humanity taking this, like just gigantic undertaking of like changing human global infrastructure to combat climate change is like a narrative that like that little bit of imagination would kind of be like, so we got to work together to do something radical to save our planet. Let's keep going with this.
But then they'd have to have the devil's advocate in there because you got to have them.
Right.
That's a necessary thing that makes everything better is someone making sure the devil has a seat at the table.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, who's advocating for the devil here?
Right. He couldn't make it. He tried to call in, but he's in a tunnel right now.
Right. I don't know. This feels really wrong to be having these conversations without Satan present. But
or even a proxy. If he could even just have a proxy here.
Even if someone can give us a phone that he can text into and I can just act as an agent on his. Okay, whatever.
I remember I felt okay about climate change for like a month when I read there was like this, I think it was Freakonomics. The Freakonomics guys were like, you know, people used to think that the end of the world was coming because of horse shit being everywhere. And then they invented the car. So we'll just have like some invention that's going to like save us. And they used like the example of putting things in the atmosphere that like reflect the sunlight back. And then like a few months later, Snowpiercer came out in which like that very thing is like the idea that turns into like a ice planet apocalypse.
Right.
Like,
the catalyst that pushes us beyond any return.
What's your overrated and underrated thing?
So I wrote nuance. I thought nuance was underrated at first. And I was like, you know, because we spend so much time online. Everyone's like hyper online, especially now feels like super hyper online. And there seems to be no nuance. But really, then you meet a person in person. There's like nuance involved. And then I was like, nah, maybe there's no nuance. Just get a vaccine. I don't care. Because then I start thinking about you listen to all these people who are anti-vax folks, like will be like, well, and this happened with this and this. And if there's like some tiny nugget of truth involved in something that becomes like the pulled thread of not getting a vaccine, then I'm like, nah, there's no nuance. Just get the vaccine. I don't care if you're like grasping onto the tiny end of the straw at the bottom of that. It's not relevant.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't figure out where to put nuance. And so instead we talked about the crown for 7 minutes.
Yeah. Natalie Schur, who's one of my favorite like kind of reporter, researcher people, and just a great follow on Twitter, was pointing out that there are like a small number of people who like can't get the vaccine, but like there's also a lot of people who are claiming they can't get the vaccine based on like junk science and basically like within the world of chronic diseases, like there's a lot of junk science being circulated. And so like almost everybody can get the vaccine. Like there's a thing about live, like if there's a live vaccine, like a live culture in the vaccine that is like not compatible with people who have like immune issues, but this is not one of those. So like that it's actually like basically everybody can get it.
Because in synthetic RNA?
Right.
With a nanolipid layer? Jack, do you know what happens after 3 months or 3 years with that nanolipid layer? Oh, I don't know if you saw that tweet that was blowing up.
We're making a TikTok that's going to get stitched.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm learning about TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I
definitely do deeper research and don't do research, actually. Reach out to a doctor and.
Your research should be finding the smartest person who's devoted their life to this and trusting them. That's a lot of my frustrations lie in this sort of like no longer having a favorable outlook of education. And it seems very bizarre to me. And I have jokingly said, but I honestly think if you distrust it. So the nugget of nuance, if someone's like, I don't trust the government, I kind of get that. But if you're using that to not get a vaccine, then I'm like, actually, there's no nuance. Just get the vaccine. It doesn't count.
Right.
I have said in jest and honestly believe if you hate teachers and you hate nurses and you don't trust doctors and science is fake, what do you want your kids to be?
Right.
What are they supposed to do? What do you want your kid to like also just like have a hateful YouTube channel? Like I
just want it to be.
Or like, and we didn't go to space and the moon is fake. And I just don't understand, like, where, what are the jobs? What do you want your kid to possibly be doing besides just being angry like you? And I don't think you can like yell at a barista for work. So
right.
It doesn't pay that well.
I don't understand.
Maybe he'll get a sponsorship from Black Rifle Coffee to yell at people in public spaces. I don't know. I mean, I think to your point about education, right? Like we've done such a great job of making it impossible for people to get educated, that by virtue of that becoming the only way into the middle class or having any kind of upward social mobility in most instances, that's just created a natural resentment for it. And without understanding that by design, many people are being shut out of the opportunity to be educated. So then it just turns into this thing over time of being like, well, that's for these fucking people who think they're so smart. And that's like truly, we're seeing like all of the machinations and the manifestations of like this very concerted effort to defund public education, because now it's become so unattainable, people fucking hate it. And now have people on TikTok just say, or wherever, claiming to know all this shit or whatever and be so contrarian, because you know that's just the way that this cruel fucking society is set up too. So just like at every turn you're like, oh my god, everything's just a reflection of how we're failing people.
It really seemed like it could just fester just below the surface as long as we didn't need everyone to agree on something ever again,
right?
And unfortunately we do. And even the way that conversations happen about it is so wildly frustrating, because it's almost like robots are having the conversation. So I saw the video that I think you were referencing, where it's like someone giving this crazy, terrible information, like a scientist.
Where there's like porn playing in the background?
Scientist is sort of like, then there's like it's like stitched next to one of them with a scientist who's saying that's true, this is not, like fact checking it. But you read, and I hate this, like you read the comments on the scientist fact checking it, and people are like, well, you're allowed to, there are two sides to what you believe, and there isn't.
Right.
I mean, yeah, but everyone maybe says the like, binary well, of like right or wrong.
This person's entitled to what she thinks about it, but you're not if it's facts. Like that's what's
right.
Everything has just become equal weight, and it just isn't how it works, and it makes it insane. And you can tell I don't talk to a lot of people most days.
I'm curious to also figure out like at what point then they're able to trust something about science. Like you're using a microwave, you use Wi-Fi, you use a self. So like
you got a lot of vaccines.
If you're going to keep exploring that, you're eating processed food. At what point do you put your sort of lens or spotlight of suspicion on these other things? And if you're not, I'm trying to understand why you don't do it in those instances too, because you could open up all kinds of theories about many of the things that we have to interact with on a daily basis, not just medical advice or, you know, research, that at which point it goes, yeah, well, I trust that. Like, I trust AT&T. You know, like, I get that.
Come on. I trust corporations. I just don't trust this.
Right.
I think that the beginning and the end might have just been one loud man who's not around as much anymore telling people what to do and not do. I don't know.
Yeah. Although, you know, we covered that there was a lot of vaccine skepticism and resistance after the 1911 flu that killed more people than this one is. And they were just willing to like go door to door and be like, let me see the vaccine scar on your arm. All right.
Yeah.
You have to get the vaccine. Let me see your arm
now. Yeah.
Well, the thing is that anyone telling me what to do in any way is exactly the Holocaust. So,
right. Oh, are you a European historian?
Right. Yeah. Well, I did my own research, and
Where was that? Where did you do your research?
I wrote this down. I wrote what I just said down.
I wrote my feelings down on the back of this Arby's receipt.
But that is like, it just has become so, like, history is now weaponized in an inaccurate way, and simultaneously people believe it didn't happen, and also that it's the reason we can't do that. It's like,
yeah,
I just feel crazy. And so, you know, that's why sometimes I'm like, let's get rid of the nuance and make everybody get it. But you do feel a little weird saying that.
Yeah.
You feel weird saying that.
And it's just because we've never been at it and lived like this before, where we're looking at some biological phenomenon. We're like, this is going to take radical action to actually keep people safe. And when people just aren't used to that or don't have the mind for any kind of like reciprocity or sense of community or owing something to each other or feeling part of a larger community, then people suddenly immediately go into their self-interested corners and figure out whatever rationale lock onto whatever rationalization they need to preserve their, like, well, I don't have to do this because of this.
Yeah.
Right.
I love when people tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I get more time to do other stuff.
Well, that's because you're a sub.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. I was going to say that. I was going to let you know that you're a sub. Like, just that's from true. The start, I just wanted to, make sure you knew.
Now, both tell me I am at the same time.
Well, hold on now. That's not very submissive behavior, fam.
You're right.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about what's happening right now.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And for a limited time, get more fun for less with the Michigan Bundle for just $49.99. Exclusive to Michigan residents only. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. And so I guess that this news just isn't reaching the people who we need it to reach. But it's just very clear, like the states that are like, yeah, you can't tell me to get a vaccine, like you can't tell my people to mask up, are doing very badly now. They're running out of hospital beds. They're having, after telling the federal government they can't tell them what to do, they are then having to ask the federal government for ventilators. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just objectively a bad look for those people, a very predictable bad look. But I guess it's just not reaching them.
Yeah, I don't know. This is in Texas and Florida. They have the very unfortunate distinction of having governors that like almost seem like, I don't know, like they had some fucking vision from God to like be on the side of COVID. And like it almost, it's like almost just it, truly it, they're on the side of COVID. Like if COVID had a seat at the table, they'd be like, hey, man, don't make them wear masks and shit. Then I can't get my shit on. Don't let them get back. Then I can't get my fuck on. They're like, oh, yeah, I got you. Like, that's the logic that they're following. Like, they are caping for COVID. So in Texas, they've stopped elective procedures because the hospitals are getting overwhelmed. They're like, dude, we can't even bring people in that aren't like, we have to focus on the people that are so sick with this Delta variant that has to be the priority. ICU beds are slowly running out at the current rate of hospitalization. And there are even less beds for like the pediatric intensive care units. Only 2 beds were available out of the 285 in the North Texas area. So in the Dallas area, they only had 2 pediatric ICU beds available. Additionally, only about 28 adult ICU beds were available as hospitals reached 90% capacity on Tuesday. So this is it's getting worse and worse. And now they're saying 15% of COVID cases are now children in Texas. Not to say that 15% of hospitalizations are, but 15% of the positive cases now are children. Yeah.
There's something too soft about the terminology and people can ignore it. And this is, I don't even really mean this as a joke, but it sounds like I'm making, pediatric ICU wouldn't resonate with people as much as like almost dying kids wing.
Child death wards.
And I know it's absolutely, I don't think people understand like the severity of anything until, insensitive, but if I read one more article about a person who died and wished they had got the vaccine on their deathbed, I'm probably just going to shut my. I don't care. I'm losing care for that. But
Our empathy goes towards people who are trying to stay safe and maybe are unable to be vaccinated or just are built bodies are built that they might succumb to the virus, and not for those who are just stunting on Instagram to say like, oh, I ain't getting the fucking shot.
Yeah.
And Florida also, you know, fucking DeSantis, like, you know, at the beginning of the year, he's like declaring flawless victory over COVID when he's like, hey, dude, I didn't shut down anything. Look at the unemployment. Like, we're doing all right. Look at me. Like, I think I kind of did something right here. And a lot of people are like, what the fuck is going on? How? But then the Delta variant's coming through. And now it's clear that it's just burning through the state. The number of people that are requiring hospitalization, that number looks pretty bleak now, which like you're saying, Jack, it got to the point where the state was like requesting from Health and Human Services, from the feds, like we need more ventilators and breathing machines for people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ron DeSantis, he knows that's not a good headline saying we're running out of machines that help people fucking breathe because their health is so poor, that at a press conference, he decided to feign ignorance over the whole thing. He said, quote, I've not heard about that, so I have to check to see if that's true or not. That's what? Quote, I would honestly doubt that that's true, but I'll look. We have a lot of stuff that we stockpiled over the last year and a half through the Department of Emergency Management. I have not had any requests across my desk. I haven't been notified of that. Well, that might be true because they know you are caping for fucking COVID. So you would probably say, we don't need it. Can't we just get people to hook them up to leaf blowers or some shit?
Why does that sound like Tim Robinson in the hot dog costume? Right. Just sort of being like, I mean, I don't know. Who knows? It really feels like that exact speech feels right. exactly like a Tim
really?
Robinson. Him.
Really?
What could why are we always on our ventilators? Why can't we live life?
Yeah. As he's like putting federal dollars into a suitcase in front of everyone.
Can't we all just, you know, worry about what's important?
We're really looking for the disease that did this. And he's like in a giant COVID particle costume.
And then he takes off on like a bike with like a sidecar with COVID.
I assumed it would just be any cruise ship.
Right. But yeah, I mean, and so you have these situations now where like doctors in these states, most even like even some even Republican officials are like, what the fuck are they doing? What the fuck is this? To the point where now you have counties that are going rogue. Despite what the governors are saying, like, you can't mandate masks. You better not make people wear masks. They're like, fuck that, dude. We're looking at what is actually happening, and we can't do that, especially as it relates to schools. So the school boards in like Austin, Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, San Antonio, they're all about to vote on requiring masks, despite Governor Abbott there saying, like, you can't mandate masks. I don't care. Like, you're going to be in trouble if you do that. Because a judge has granted a temporary restraining order. So allowing counties in two counties now to make their own decisions. But the same is also happening in Broward County in Florida. They don't care what the fucking governor is saying because they know what the real outcomes are. And they're like, what the fuck? Like, we don't give a fuck. This is absurd.
And you see videos of people standing outside of these school board meetings, like yelling at nurses who are testifying about COVID being bad. Yeah. And I cannot. And I get enraged. My sister is a second grade teacher in Missouri, which is. Yeah. Probably the bronze medal on your podium of this conversation right. if Texas and Florida are bringing home the rest of the medals. And you, if you are screaming at a nurse for talking to a school board, what happened? How did you get here? I mean, I know none of those people are listening because I don't think they can get this on their iPod shuffle, but I just want to know how they are listening. Like, I don't know how you can get to such a point where you're screaming at a nurse.
Because the right has very, and I'm not deftly crafted a narrative, but they've tied economic chaos to the shutdown. So any threat of acknowledging that how bad the disease is and that action needs to be taken begins to resonate in these people at a frequency, which is like, oh, my job or my livelihood or these other things, rather than like, this is what we have to do to be safe. There's some people go, this is what we have to do to be safe. Other people go, this is what they're trying to do to fucking get us out of our houses or whatever. Because everyone, no matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, is feeling the crunch of American capitalism on some level, like where they don't feel that there's any moment to rest or that they can feel that something is going to be provided for them. So they've really tied this idea into the acknowledging how bad the disease is as being like, it's going to create more economic hardship. Remember the shutdown? Remember all those businesses? Da, 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 da. And it's about this like completely other thing, because clearly the science aspect is just completely decoupled from it to just be more about this like larger existential, like hegemonic, you know, like thing that they're all glomming onto.
I think we're so far down the rabbit hole of like social media, just creating, you know, the reality where you were talking about earlier, Kyle, of just like there is no objective truth. That I just think that like that is such a huge part of this, and so surreal. If you just go back 10 years and look at our present reality, like just the DeSantis response, I have not heard about that, so I have to check to see if that's true or not. Like I'm gonna do my own research in the face of somebody like showing him the receipts.
You don't have to. Health and Human Services confirmed that they sent hundreds of pieces of machinery to the state.
I guess I'll just do some other research then.
They got the call last Friday when you guys had 200,000 cases or whatever the number was, or 20,000 cases or something.
I would honestly doubt that's true, but I'll look. Like, it's just do your own research type shit. It's all, you know, I keep going back to the how much the Trump ban changed things, and just like social media is so deadly to like, it's really, you know, Biden got a lot of shit for saying that it's killing people, but it's legitimately at this point killing people and going to start killing children soon.
Like, yeah, I don't even think it is a that's like a known, I mean, this is even separate of everything if you're talking about the vaccine or COVID at all. Social media is also like, what do you call it? Like simmering and then overboard, like boiling, like the insurrection and, you know, coups and like terrorist activity in countries just all to create ad revenue and own people's data. And that's, you know, that's even separate of like everything that's happening with misinformation and COVID and things like that.
Well, yeah. And again, like for places like Facebook and YouTube, they're like, man, I know this COVID video is getting 90 million interactions like in 3 days that, you know, people are like, what is this thing still doing up there? But they're like, man, that's a lot of impressions.
They're really getting a lot of people to watch 8 seconds about StreamYard.
Yeah, because we're in a fucking culture of infinite growth business. There's no end to it. They can't turn it off because it's absolutely antithetical to like their mission as a, you know, like a capitalist enterprise. It's not to be like, our mission is to get to a point and then whatever extras there are, we'll kind of reinvest that down the ladder. It's just like, no. We just want to go till the balloon fucking pops.
Yeah. And I mean, go ahead.
We've seen Facebook ignore massive panics that resulted in riots that killed people in other countries until it becomes a news story, a media story, and then they will do as much damage control as they can without actually fixing the problem until just to make the story go away. But like, that's literally the only thing that they respond to is negative press. But so
it's hard
the press
to take
to
videos down while you're kite surfing. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, it's so.
Dude,
so
you was kite surfing on a fucking hydrofoil, bro.
I'm happy my boy's face didn't get burned.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone made fun of him for that, but I kind of look similar. And yeah. I got scars. I'm trying to not get permanently sunburned on my head, you know?
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, unfortunately, you don't have access to the skin that Mark Zuckerberg can just buy.
Right, that wasn't even sunscreen. That was just someone else's face put on there.
Yeah. That's someone's complete epidermis that just wore it as a mask, like some fucked up water sports loving Hannibal Lecter.
He just watched 20 minutes of Silence of the Lambs, agreed with the guy, turned it off, and was like, "All right,
it's like that. Give me that."
Why is a movie with all good guys staring at my face over there? Yeah. He's been over there staring at me.
He's just eating all those beans out of a can.
I love this guy. He makes eye contact and yet feels nothing. That's my hero right there.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were talking about kids, the fact that this is the Delta variant is shown to be more deadly and more infectious with children than any version before. FDA administrators are starting to sound the alarm. And it's, I think they're, Pfizer is planning to submit data for kids under 12 to the FDA in September. At which point it will need to go through the approval process. So like that's as soon as we're going to be able to get kids to even have the option to get vaccinated. So it's just, this is the point at which, this whole thing, I just feel like we've been watching somebody have an embarrassing temper tantrum for the past 5 years, just over and over and just waiting for them to shut the fuck up, and now they're starting to like put kids at risk. And I don't know. It's I don't know the answer, but
we'll have to see the math on whether it was like the kids versus the Dow Jones. You know what I mean? What's more important?
Right.
If it's like two kids per point, you got to then be like, you know, what were the kids' test scores, and do we care about that?
Right.
And you know, figure out if it's okay if they live.
And their versus, future profitability.
The NASDAQ, which affects me, and I know you guys on a daily basis, we can't really let that go. If that goes down, that's bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If I sound down in the dumps, it is because of my NASDAQ portfolio.
Yeah. You're putting the Dow the and reason. Down on the dumps, you know?
Yeah.
My endorphin levels are tied to the stock market.
Right. I got a Robin Hood referral that I'm really hoping pays off. So I if these kids die, I mean, who really is that on?
Yeah, it's everything that you see, like but from especially Republican governors, you don't know like if they understand the concept of the value of human life or like what it would mean for a parent to like lose their child to this, like because there's not that's almost that thought process is completely absent from this decision making. Like Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas seems to be the one Republican governor who's like, I fucked up like not in those harsh words, but he's definitely like voicing regret over certain things that has happened. Not to say that that excuses anything, but on some level, it feels like for him, he's like, yeah, it's kind of hard to like keep this up. Like it's getting bad, folks. Mm-hmm. And yeah, when you see that this, you know, mindset is now seeping into the realm of parents trying to protect their children. I mean, I feel like that's probably where we're going to see more people start coming to the side of like, we need more mandates, we need more vaccines, because
yeah.
It's one thing when you feel like, well, I'm an adult and there was like this fallacy of like, and kids are immune, so we're good. Like, that's not a danger. But now when you're seeing that cases for kids are going up and up and up, and you have doctors like in Florida, like crying in these PSAs, like, because they're trying to tell people like it's getting bad and we're seeing more kids.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's lawsuits right now where parents of disabled students are like suing the governor to be like, my kids need to be protected. Like, I don't know what the fuck you think this is. Like, cause it's not a game for me as a parent.
Right.
But
I even find like people who are like, when you're talking about how this, a lot of this is a fallout of like hyper-capitalism not being a viable solution. And the people who, these people who hate masks and these people who want to ignore everything, even they are screaming about it because they're like, well, I have to drop my kid off at school because I have to go do this work. And I want to take these people and be like, so you are so close.
Right.
You are like, I need school to have no changes because otherwise I can't do my job in life. I require it. You're so close to being like, so yeah, we need to just get rid of this. The system is what is holding a lot of this back as well.
Yeah.
The fact that you, without school, you will lose your job because you can't go in because you have to take care of your kid. And these are people who are like, so that's why we shouldn't wear masks. And I'm like, but you're just so, you're so close.
Yeah. And
you are right at the door.
The most propagandized people on the planet, you know, live in this country. So it's just... Yeah, they're so close, but they're in like, it seems like an impenetrable bubble that they've swapped out their capitalism frustrations with COVID frustrations and are just like, no, that's the problem. It's not that
displacement, baby.
Yeah, there's nothing, shout out to Freud. There's nothing like that to, you know, there's nothing that's connecting the dots because it's just been so effectively hijacked with like this, you know.
And I'm not smart enough to, like, even what I'm trying to talk, I don't feel like I'm fully getting across what I think even now while I think about it, let alone if I'm trying to talk to someone I know who I think maybe I could get through to. I don't know. I feel frustrated about it. And I think a lot of people do where you're just like, you just want to be like, no, like, but that's not enough. But you're like, give me 6 hours and let me find smarter people. But I can't even, I get frustrated with myself. Like, I can't explain well enough now the ideas and how I feel about it and how, and all this sort of stuff. And
the one time I got into it with like a guy who was just like, I don't know, man, there's been I've heard from a lot of people who said like, I just couldn't be like, I know it's not a effective way to win an argument, but I just like got so pissed off. Just like, it was just over like immediately.
But it's the most important thing and I know it wasn't in the doc, but if one NFL player kneels during the anthem this year, I am going to...
I'm going to be so fucking pissed. Hey, real quick, do you think Joe Biden said, when he saw that his infrastructure bill got 69 votes, do you think he said, nice?
No.
That's something I need to know.
He would never 69. He doesn't know what that is.
Okay.
He'd be like, what? 60 what? Can you imagine explaining that to Joe Biden? Oh, come on, Jack. People don't do that gross stuff. Put your mouth down there? Okay, what are you, a veterinarian?
Right, it's not an ice cream cone.
He definitely, he pulled off his bipartisan fucking magic show. And like, the Washington Post is like, Joe Biden stuns again. He surprises us again with his bipartisan infrastructure framework. Yeah, it got 69 votes. It got over that filibuster proof. You know, got to get over that 60 vote mark. And at $1 trillion, the largest bill of its kind. 19 Republicans got on board. But don't worry, it's not for good reasons. I think many saw this as an opportunity to support, like, to throw their support behind something that just broadly polls well. It's like, hey, man, you want less fucked up roads? You want a bridge? You want a better airport? okay, good.
Right. Like, I mean, there's still people who think that's what the government's whole purpose is, a pothole. You know what I mean? They're like, look at this pothole outside my building,
fucking
Obama.
Government. Yeah, like, exactly. And so that was definitely like a plus for them. Like, okay, I can vote for this because it's also popular. And also the 19 that supported it, they were kind of like in this place where they felt a little bit more insulated from like the MAGA outrage mobs of constituents that would normally be like the force that is like, no, actually I can't because Trump is yelling at us to not support this because he doesn't want Biden to have an optics win. But I think the real reason behind it is that they wanted to pretend bipartisanship works to sort of take the fucking momentum out of the filibuster reform talk that's happening right now. Because if they do that and go, you see, like, we figured it out. We did a $1 trillion. We voted for that. But then we have this $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill that has the real shit in it, like the real, real big programs that people are like saying, like, yeah, this is the kind of investment we need in people, that they can come around for that time. Like, oh, this is too much. This is too much. You saw we were able to do that. But this stuff, there's a line with it. And don't say it's not bipartisanship because we were there for that vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're sort of loading the whole deck for that kind of showdown. Because right now, yeah, this $1 trillion thing goes to the House. Pelosi says, we're not going to vote on it until you also pass the $3.5 trillion bill and see what happens then. But already we have like Joe Manchin on his fainting couch being like, I don't know. It's a lot of money. So there's a lot of work to be done. It's just, again, frustrating because maybe they'll figure it out. But yeah, still nothing on voting rights.
Look at what happens when Democrats like actually take the filibuster like seriously. That scares them. And I just feel like this is Democrats behaving like Republicans in the good way, that it's like shrewd and just forcing people's hand a little bit.
I wish I wish they were like that all the time.
Yeah. That would be...
I think about I think about the filibuster. I think about how the whole I wish we could just take a look at it like, would we invent this today? Right. Or is it just already here?
Or we just want these guys with wooden teeth, with wooden teeth, to tell us what we want from centuries ago.
If we came up with healthcare today and you walked into the room and you said, okay, first off, what's your job? I know you want to go to the doctor. I just have to know what you do for your job. How long have you been there? How often do you work?
Also, your job is now at least part-time dealing with a health insurance company.
Right. And and how little your job spends on you makes other people money.
Right.
Okay, so you guys are writing this all down. This is how healthcare is going to work. So you have to tell your doctor where you work so a company can talk to a company. That way, if you've paid every month, you can pay a little bit more. And then if you pay enough, you won't have to pay as much.
Right.
Sounds like a lot of paying.
Yeah, oh, and your taxes are the same. Well, it's a good question, though, in the back. Good question in the back. Your taxes, we have 30 helicopters that need to circle Atwater Village. So we got to keep those up. Or would someone just say, maybe taxes make people feel better?
Mm. Yeah.
And I think the same with the filibuster. If you're writing it all out now, what if one guy is loud? I don't know. That's an episode of Smart Guy. This isn't what this is.
Right.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about important stuff.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And for a limited time, get more fun for less with the Michigan Bundle for just $49.99. Exclusive to Michigan residents only. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back, and there were 24 hours there, a beautiful 24 hours, mm-hmm. where people thought Ross and Rachel were boning in real life.
Oh, so good.
It's a glorious time.
It was a great day. I feel like right now we're so fucking hopped up on nostalgia, you know, because like Bennifer, they're back together and like house hunting, and A-Rod is just pathetically trying to get her attention with his Instagram stories. That I think it makes sense that a lot of people were just immediately just jumped on any rumor that Jennifer Aniston and David Schwimmer might be dating. And I don't know if, did any of y'all see the Friends reunion at all? Okay. Well, I saw most of it. And there was this one part I think that fueled a lot of this speculation, is that because there's a certain point where Jennifer Aniston and David Schwimmer both were like, hey, I'm not going to lie. Like, I had a crush on you. She's like, I had a crush on you. We were into each other. But our dating lives never quite aligned. Like, we were never single at the same time. So it just kind of never really worked out, although we definitely had feelings for each other. So instead, we just focused all that horny into the performances on the show, which is why I think y'all felt it. It was hitting a little bit differently because underneath it, we were really vibing. And then they were spotted together in Santa Barbara. And then all it took was one, like, fake fucking quote. Someone quoted someone was like, yeah, she has been cooking dinners for him and he traveled all the way from New York to visit her. That then immediately everyone's like, oh my God, they're together. Thank God. They're like, you can't deal with global warming, but Tony Ross and Rachel will be happy.
Fuck. I'm okay if he took a private plane if it was to Santa Barbara.
Right.
Right.
To see her.
This was a story I missed the time where we all thought they were together. It felt like I was binge watching Breaking Bad and couldn't talk about it week to week. Right. Like I was late. I knew the end. And right, I wish I was in the little happy world where everyone was like, had the hypothetical, even if it was just for a day.
Right. Yeah. Then like all it took was just one of his like sort of PR people to be like, yeah, that's absolutely not true. It's not true.
Right.
They are just friends. But that would be the perfect cover though.
Right.
Especially if they said they are just friends with a little trademark symbol after the word friends. And they're like, what are you actually talking about?
Friends?
Yeah. I have this poster that's I want to believe, but it's just a picture of them having graphic sex behind it instead of a UFO like in the X-Files. Another thing I want to believe in is Shazam, the Sinbad genie movie that I don't know. Did y'all have this memory that Sinbad was in a genie movie?
I was alive.
Yeah.
I was
no,
too.
I didn't. No. This should have been foreshadowing that we couldn't agree on the vaccine.
Right.
I don't believe. I'm not saying I believe it happened. I think it's just interesting that all of our collective unconscious created the same image of him with his arms folded in a genie outfit that never happened.
Yeah. I mean, it's I am Kazam. And right. That's Shaq, baby.
So
is it because Sinbad wore like genie-esque pants a lot
in
the 90s?
So I think that's part of it. You know, as somebody who
he would do a lot of vests and sort of like pattern vests and pants. And
yeah, pattern
like
vests, big billowy, you know, genie pants. I mean, Hammer wore what were called genie pants at the time. And I don't know. So his son, so his kids are kind of the front line of this. They're saying that people the closest to us who know everything about our family have sometimes second guessed whether the movie exists. And they have to be like, no, motherfucker.
Again, the people are saying that the movie Kazam, starring Shaquille O'Neal and where he is a genie, was actually, there was a movie called Shazam with Sinbad. In it. And they're saying, stop lying to us, you fucking thief.
What if we all found out the movie Deep Impact never happened? Right. And it was just Armageddon, and some people were misremembering details and like faking this entire second movie.
Right.
No, and so she also said, my dad and Shaq, people confuse them all the time.
People do not look the same.
They do not look the same at all.
Not only do they not look the same, one of them is the most distinct looking human who exists.
know, right?
one of them is seven foot two.
Yeah.
The most famous looking person.
And their delivery and cadence couldn't be more different.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing even like sonically,
nothing
audibly,
about them
where you're
is
like
the same. They're also not even remotely the same age. Like, none of it's the same.
Right.
Our dad. So this is a quote from his daughter. Our dad has been mistaken for Shaquille O'Neal more times than makes logical sense. that's so fucking true. So well put.
That would be once or twice is more times than make logical sense.
Yeah. But
are they really doing this thing where they just think black people look the same? Because there's no way you're looking at the two of them. I'm like, how the fuck are you mistaking these two? And, unless you're truly on some other weird ignorant shit. And you're like, I think that's, are you Shaquille O'Neal? It's like, I'm fucking Sinbad.
I think it's just that Sinbad should have been in that role. It doesn't really make sense that Shaquille O'Neal would play a genie.
Right.
And like that Shaquille O'Neal is just very like charming in person. And I think he gets put into things that don't always make sense for him. Like I think I've told the story about that show where people were like trying to beat Shaq at like various athletic feats.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually supposed to be Steve Nash, because Steve Nash can like beat people in, like, he can just do insane stuff. Like, he can make 33 pointers in a row with a softball. Like, he's just like one of those freak athletes that.
Now, there's two people that look the same.
No, thank you. but because, like, when the ABC producers were hanging out with Steve Nash, he was on the Phoenix Suns with Shaq, and Shaq just like kind of wooed them over to his side and made the show about him. So I'm wondering, like, if we just recast Kazam as Sinbad because it just like makes more sense, like we just thought he should have been in that role. I don't know.
It's a lot of twisting and turning we have to do to make it all make sense when it's just, I don't know.
It doesn't make sense. It's a completely irrational thing. Really, I just think it's interesting.
Sinbad also so funny. I don't, this has nothing to do with it. That man is so funny.
Oh my God.
Still, if you can go, you know, I don't need, this is where you want to risk your COVID exposures to go see Sinbad. But someday, if you like stand up, and you might think I'm joking because he's not the generation you like, he's so funny.
Oh, I remember like back on airplanes when there was no, back in my day, remember the old headphones that were just like air tubes that you would like plug into the
side?
They
looked like a little stethoscope.
Yeah, exactly. And the only entertainment on a fucking plane was like the 10 radio stations, mm-hmm. like that would just play music. And I remember as a kid, I would always listen to whatever the stand-up comedy one was. Like, that was, like, my favorite thing. And I remember hearing Sinbad for the first time, like, on an album. And I was fucking killing me. Mm-hmm. And, like, that was... And so I've always had really good memories of his stand-up to the point where, yeah, I just always kept watching it because he's always been kind of this, like, wholesome comedian dude. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I second that suggestion. Even young Miles, who's listening with his weird rubber tube headphones, became yeah. a fan very early.
One of the first stand-up shows I ever went to was, like, to go see him at some... when I was like 18 or 19, and he only did stand-up about the cab ride from the airport to the casino in Kansas City for an hour and talk to people in the crowd and just crush so hard that you're just like, this is, it's like a different sport. It's right. like, it's an absolutely different thing happening. Anyways, I don't think he was the
naturally the funniest person.
I think there'll be like a thesis. Isn't the Berenstain Bears another example
yeah.
of this?
Yeah, yeah, the Mandela effect. This yeah. is the one that is very, that actually got me. That I definitely have the image in my head of him in a movie poster, folding his arms like a genie in a genie outfit for some reason. But yeah, so this is where it turns from. I feel like this is a good metaphor for the current state of America, because then they say at the very end of the article, even when faced with facts, people don't want to be told they're wrong. When they debunk mm-hmm. the Shazam theory, people get upset, claiming the movie was, quote, so influential on their childhood, says Adkins. Strangely, Adkins said that in order to prove their point, some of these same people will later claim the influential movie was so bad Sinbad wanted to get rid of it.
Like the fucking E.T. NES game or something?
Right.
Or like that there's someone's going to discover a stockpile of old Sinbad Shazam tapes like in a yeah. dump in Arizona or something.
Yeah, that's the thing about stuff is you can't get rid of it anymore.
Right.
Right.
They're,
you can't hide.
So they, rather than admitting they're wrong about this completely inconsequential thing, they will accuse people of being part of a vast conspiracy.
Yeah, I can see where that would apply to other stuff. I just can't come up with any examples.
Kyle, it's been a pleasure having you, man, as always. Where can people find you and follow you?
I'm at Kyle Ayers on the most of the stuff, so you can find me on there. And that's when I'll post if, you know, stand-up shows and things like that are happening. But, you know, at Kyle Ayers on Instagram.
Nice. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
I saw this tweet. Someone said, if you've seen one bear attack, you've seen them all. And I laughed. It's fro_vo. It made me laugh a lot. If you've seen one bear attack, you've seen them all. I like yeah. that. They apologized for it immediately too, which also made me happy.
Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, if you want to check out the other podcast, 420 Day Fiance with Sophie Alexandra, we talk 90 Day over there. Some tweets that I like. Damn, I fucking like so many right now. First one is from Soul Nate at MN Nate Shyamalan, saying, can't believe the only political options in America are we have to catch and spread a deadly virus to defeat the satanic pedophile elite, or we spent 9 months trying to make the bus $5 cheaper and we did not succeed. Thumbs up. Yeah, sadly, that is the thing. And then at the way of the id tweeted, today's generation will never know the sweet embarrassment of your mother picking up the phone and interrupting your conversation to tell you it's time for bed.
Mm.
Which I remember like, oh, my, it was crushing. Oh, yeah. My mom picked up the phone to speak Japanese. And people are like, what the fuck was that, dude? I'm like, I don't know. I think my house is haunted. I gotta go.
I didn't hear anything. You heard something?
Yeah.
The other annoying thing would be when somebody picks up the phone and just like starts dialing and like goes,
right.
just keeps going. You're like, hello, hey, mom! Hey, where? Mom! And they're just like not listening.
She's like, I have to send a fax. And you're like, fuck. That used to be the when there was fax machines. I would try to use that as my phone line.
Yeah,
but then my mom's like, I have faxes that are coming in. I'm like, fuck. Okay.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. A tweet I've been enjoying at Sam Gritner tweeted, I've officially been diagnosed with Havana syndrome. I can't stop Havana good time. And I like anything Havana syndrome. But
except you're like, you shouldn't joke about that.
Shut up.
You really shouldn't joke about that. You really shouldn't joke about that.
That was from Alicia tweeted that at me. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song are we sending people to check out?
Okay, the song that we are going to go out on, recently, DT from Kool & the Gang, the saxophonist from Kool & the Gang, Dennis Thomas, he passed away. So I wanted to do this one track from Kool & the Gang from the album Wild and Peaceful. It's the titular track called Wild and Peaceful. You know, a lot of people obviously know them from like their big hits, but Wild and Peaceful is just like a really nice big song. It's like a very ambitious track with all kinds of textures and rhythms and good musicality. And it's easy listening in the background. That will keep your attention. So check out Wild and Peaceful from Kool & the Gang.
Very cool. All right.
Very cool. Very cool. All right.
All right. Well, we're going to suggest you go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you enjoy listening to podcasts. That's going to do it for this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And for a limited time, get more fun for less with the Michigan Bundle for just $49.99. Exclusive to Michigan residents only. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.